Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument, and has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. This is a very special show for me, and I've been thinking about this for quite a while because it's something we need to talk about, and I think it's important. And I'm seeing a situation where a lot of people are having injuries or getting injured playing their instrument. So I'm very fortunate to have with me tonight Dr. David Allen, and I will go into his background in a second, but he has his programs that he has for helping people with hand injury, any type of injuries. It actually goes beyond just that. They're quite potent and effective, and I'm really happy to have him here today. And also to Les Wise, who introduced me to Dr. David. He's here to talk to and hang with us. It's good to see you guys both. And before we start, I'm going to play. Dr. Dave is also a guitar player, so I'm going to play a song that he did and that he played guitar. You played guitar and bass?
No, just the guitar.
Just the guitar.
And the voice.
So I'm going to play a little bit of this first one, and we'll play another song for us to take us out at the end. But here, this is called The Promise, and here is David Allen.
I love you, sweet. No longer a mystery, unfolding our destiny. One day I married, that was never true. Don't ask me for reasons, just color it blue. It's you I need more, and I'll test literally next to me. You shall rest. Promise to give you my all, and I ask of you the same. Be there when you need me, that will always be my aim. Promise to comfort and love you, and to help you reach your goals. Be your best friend and warn you when life moments become cold. Promise, you, I love you, sweet. No longer a mystery, unfolding our destiny.
Now I have to welcome to the show, I don't know, I'll call you David. It's I know it's Dr. David Allen, but I mean, that's some great guitar playing. I have to ask you though, what were you using? Do you remember which guitars you had?
Oh my goodness, yeah, my very special guitar from my grandmother purchased for me in 1972. It's a 1965 Ray Matty, custom made F hole. Ray Matty was famous for making his mandolins, and he used to work in New York with D'Angelico. So it's like a D'Angelico. And when I went to the GIT in 1979.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's right.
Did you go to GIT, really?
Was Les teaching you?
Les is my teacher.
Wow. Okay.
And they say in Chinese, Ni Lao Shu. Lao Shu is teacher.
Okay. So. Yeah. And then there was an acoustic guitar in there, wasn't there?
No, it's all that guitar. It's overdubbed three times with a fretless bass.
Oh, wow.
And my voice.
Yeah, but that sound, I mean, it sounded acoustic. Yeah, it was really good. You're going to have to send me a picture of that guitar. We have to post that.
Oh, that guitar is amazing.
We have now. That just goes to show. So he's a guitar player. So he's very sensitive to what can happen to your hands and stuff playing or overplaying. Well, let's go a little bit into your background. You're a doctor of chiropractic medicine, mm-hmm. and you have a degree in that. But you've studied shiatsu, reflexology. If I can pronounce this, auriculotherapy.
Auriculotherapy, correct.
And I'll let you explain all of that. But he's set up these interesting programs, too. He's kind of mixed and matched and pulled the best of each technique and made them into and has done programs that use those. So, for example, he has a course in reflexatsu and natural posture. Then auriculotherapy, musicianship wellness. These are some of the things that he has together. So just give us a little bit of your background.
Well, coming out here to Los Angeles back in 1978 to first go to GIT, I have a background in music. So that was my dream to be a famous guitar player. And I was very much involved and still am involved with guitar, but I kind of went off the path and started to explore wellness, mm-hmm. and started with massage and reflexology because I wasn't making a living like I wanted to in the music world, mm-hmm. and from there I just kept exploring, and I always wanted to teach. So everything I started to learn with the reflexology and massage, I started teaching back in the early 80s, and that led to more and more discovery, and in 1985, I decided to go back to school and be a chiropractor, and became a chiropractor in 1990. So I'm not your typical chiropractor. I'm a musician. I'm very sensitive to the process of really making more permanent change for people, and that's working with habits and education. So mm-hmm. I spend a lot of time with people. I do a lot of body work. I think the touch is very, very important. And I'm very, very interested in exploring all the different physical techniques. And now also I'm very much involved with the total scope of wellness, including the mental and the spiritual aspects too.
Well, when you were in school, did you see injuries? For you to get into that, were you seeing people that were injured from practicing too much, or what did you see at that? Or was that when you just, because you, that's kind of a specific type of area to work on. You know, that type of wellness where you're working on, you know, because those kind of injuries. Now, I don't remember in the 80s, I'm trying to remember if I was even aware of that kind of stuff, because I was, you know, we were so busy in school and just playing, and we thought we were invincible anyway. But I mean, did you see any of that at that time at GIT? Were you seeing things like that?
Well, I was just a guitar player. That wasn't on the radar for me. I was doing like how most musicians starting off, practicing as much as you can and trying to be the best musician you could be. So I was 22 years old. I mean, now I'm a lot older and 40 years later. I've treated in my practice all kinds of injuries, and I see it stems from a lot of the same things, and it has to do with our habits, mm-hmm. and musicians are prone to do repetitive stuff, and they're not paying attention to all the other aspects besides possibly this injury they might have with their hands, tendonitis, nerve entrapment syndromes, and all kinds of things that really get people into a lot of trouble.
Well, you know, what was a fun thing for me is that Dave and I becoming friends, and that when he got into reflexology, then he would maybe him and I would go out someplace. We'd come by the school and go check out these new things. So he would do the reflexology. And then when he went to chiropractic school, he goes, Les, look, he comes to GIT. He goes, let's go in this room for a second. I've learned these special techniques with the spine where instead of the massive jarring kind of adjustment, I've learned these really soft techniques. Of course, he learned so many different things, and so he would do this on me. And so, yeah, it was great that he had that he would deliver these things. You know,
well, I can remember as a student, and also in my 20s. And so, the main thing I would have at that time would be backache from my Les Paul was pretty heavy, and we would play like 4-hour sets, and we'd be standing all the time, mm-hmm. and a lot of people started using different guitars because of the weight. I never did, but I remember like my shoulder would be tight or whatever from there. So that was probably the beginning of it. But I know that when I was at SC, it was primarily before the studio guitar department had developed the classical department. Those guys were playing hours and hours. And actually myself, even though I wasn't playing as much classical as they want me to, I was still playing 3 or 4 hours a day all the time. And I didn't notice any issues at that time with my hands, but I know those classical players, they would get pain. Some of them did complain about sometimes they'd have to, and they didn't want to stop. It's like, I can't stop. I have to keep practicing. It's like, you got to let it go. You got to take a break for a minute. But now you you studied a lot of different things.
Many, many techniques. We didn't have the internet back in the 80s, and I had this a huge appetite to learn as much as I could from all these different masters I met. So along the way, I studied all the soft tissue, the major soft tissue techniques, and chiropractic, and then mind body. And I had a very special training in the early 80s with a mentor of mine that really taught me all about movement therapy, which is very mm-hmm. similar to the Alexander technique. And so this is what I want to really bring out to the musicians more so than anyone else, because I just feel a brotherhood with my musician friends, and I see the need for reaching out and helping them with the mm-hmm. education and the posture thing, all the habits and the neglect that we do when we're early in our 20s is leads to a lot of problems in the 30s and 40s, and it just some very simple awareness and changes in your habits can have huge impacts, not only on injury prevention, but performance. Because mm-hmm. if you're my goal to work with people is not so much focus on the injury, but focus on really being comfortable and the most relaxed position possible when you're playing, and that way the music is going to come out, the performance, right. To enhance performance is another very important part of mm-hmm. of myself helping musicians and really anybody that wants to get help in this area.
Well, one thing that was really interesting that I learned in school, and Duke Miller had taught me actually, even though it was a classical technique, is the correct classical way of holding the guitar, where it's slightly angled and where it sits on your knee. There's a reason for that, and one of the things was it puts your hands in the most relaxed position, because your hand, especially on the fretboard, it's hard to explain this, but if you're not in the right position, it's a real strain on your wrist when you're trying to finger, especially or you're bending and stuff. And a lot of the way the classical player plays, it gives them access to all the strings, all the frets, and their wrists are loose, And your posture too. It actually, when you do it, if you're not hunched over, you're supposed to kind of sit up straight when you play. And now, and the reason I'm saying this is this week I got to go over to David's his office, and we talked about my hand because I have a hand injury myself. But we sat down, and he was asking me questions about how I played and stuff, and I explained that I usually go to that position when I'm like doing recording and stuff because I need to be relaxed, and that I try also too when I played drums, my hands, my wrists were always very loose. And so we were talking about these different things, and it was fascinating to, you know, going back and forth, because he was showing me things that I might be doing wrong or whatever. And one of the things that just totally blew me away is what the correct posture, I don't know if you call it natural, but I know you have a thing on your site that's called natural posture, if I don't, that's what you call it.
I have a couple of things that just creating brands over the years, and I think of posture as not good or bad. I think natural posture is
yes.
the way to go. So.
Well, I want you to explain that, because it's really threw me, it surprised me, because we're always, you know, when you're a kid, sit up straight, stand up straight. You should be up, shoulders back. And what you explained, and also, too, what I want to bring out, too, is all these different disciplines that you trained, there's commonalities that I was seeing what you were saying about using this technique or this technique. There's this, you know, it's interesting. Like, for example, in acupuncture, the chi lines are very similar to if you've gone to physical therapy. They follow those lines where, so like if they'll, for example, with the acupuncture, they might put a needle in your leg that goes all the way up that handles something on your shoulder, or they might touch a muscle that's up on your arm that goes to your wrist. It affects your wrist because it's following the chi line. Mm-hmm. And what David was doing, same thing. He would hit, okay, I'm going to watch this. He's going to do this. So he would touch his muscle up here, and I could feel it go down my hand. So I've noticed for myself the information's based on the same science or whatever. I mean, it's the way the body works with these lines of energy and the nervous system and stuff. And I wanted to know how you also too, if you could elaborate a little more about that too. But the using all of that stuff, this posture thing, you got to explain this because it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. The whole breathing and it kind of goes into also what you were talking about, the Alexander technique. Mm-hmm. So could you kind of give us a little background on all of that?
Well, the natural posture is based on what we're meant to do naturally, and that is to move like little kids. Like if you ever watch a kid that's just starting to walk, there's so much joy on their face, and that's all their job is to do is to explore their bodies, and they're so excited about all this movement. And as we get older, we lose that joy, and we start to sit for hours at a time, and we're told to sit still, and then all the repetitive stuff we do. So there's a lot of unnatural things that are occurring without us even paying attention, because once we start to learn to walk and we stand, we don't think about it. And so I'm saying we do have to continue to think about that because it's not a matter of positions. It's a matter of being more natural. And what's natural is to see how you can kindle that spirit that the kids have. And you can do it. You can do it with awareness and breath awareness and getting some movement going and having the awareness of breath movement and body movement going. And I have a thing called don't stand up straight. So mm-hmm. that's part of the natural posture. And I use that to kind of wake people up, because people think people are not paying attention, and they think that they have to be in a position, and one position is not good, and another position is good. And it comes down to really not thinking of good and bad, but just thinking of how much stress and strain goes on with everything we do. And we want to do less and less straining. Mm-hmm. And there's a formula for that. And so we have to get more in tune with that. And that's what part of what I teach.
Yeah, well, you were talking about this constant motion. And in a minute, I want you to explain that mm-hmm. that natural, because one of the things that surprised me when you said, this is the natural where your body is most relaxed. And it's kind of, and you can describe that. But what, for example, I learned from a friend of mine that was an optometrist, he said, You have the four muscles on your eyeball, and when the way your eye relaxes is by movement. It's moving all the time. So when you turn to the right, one muscle contracts, the other relaxes, and it's that constant motion that makes it relaxed and you know, so you can look. And then we looking at computer screens or small screens where we're not, mm-hmm. you know, we're not moving our eyes, that's when the strain starts happening. And it's the same thing I was getting from what you were saying about breathing and the exhale position and the inhale position, mm-hmm. which is like standing up straight and then you exhale. Your body's moving all the time, that movement in and out. And then we went even farther, the inhaling, taking in energy, expelling the old mm-hmm. in anew. And I'd like you to elaborate a little more, because that to me is very, very important, because it's more than just a physical thing. It's more of a like a focus, a type of way of relaxing and focusing the mind. I mean,
well, it's a lifestyle.
There you go.
It's a lifestyle. And on a physical level, we have a body that if it's not really moving, and most people are not moving their neck and their head and their shoulders, and they're holding themselves all day long. You don't realize this until you're aware of this. So you start to relearn how to be healthy again in your body. And that's why things like yoga and Tai Chi and different exercise programs are very popular, because they get people to move. They get people to move. But what I'm saying is we want to work even more on a grassroots level to have that consciousness all the time. Okay, mm-hmm. And so to have that all the time, you have to be aware of what you're doing, you know, and if your shoulders are just stuck, and if you're playing guitar and you're hunkering over your guitar, you know, you're looking at the music and you want to play a piece that is difficult, you're going to be maybe holding your breath. You want to make sure that you're doing things that's going to keep your body more balanced. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to balance. And so lots of times chiropractors and all these injuries, we're looking at them from a physical standpoint, and that's fine. So I embrace that, and I think some good physical therapy and the methods that I use to help people is tremendous. But we also have a whole body that encompasses mental and spiritual. And so when we were talking about, when I tell people to become aware of their breath, it's more than that, because as you're breathing, we're becoming inspired on the inhale, and then we're expiring and letting things go on the exhale. So you could take advantage of that mm-hmm. and throw in some mental visualizations that can empower you. So, and bring in a lifestyle of awareness and a contemplation and more balance to reduce the risk of injury mm-hmm. and to improve your performance.
Well, I noticed too, when I was there and you found a knot or something, like especially in my hand, and it was, you know, he was kneading it out and getting it to break it down. And I had learned from acupuncture to breathe very slow and even try to breathe through my nose if it's not stuffy, if not through the mouth. But when I was doing that, it would relax more. And I've seen that when I've had physical therapy, that helped a lot. But I noticed that too, that slow, even in and out breathing, it does calm you. It does relax the body. There's more to it than just breathing. I think it's...
Oh, well, the breathing is tied in with stress. And so if you're not aware of your breathing and you're in a stressful situation, your breath is going to take on a stressful breath, which is short, shallow, and that will affect the quality of life. And making changes in the breath, you can instantly relax yourself, and it's something that you don't have to go out and buy a piece of exercise equipment, and you have it right there. So doing some general breathing exercises, awareness of breath, and doing some movement while you're breathing is an excellent way for improving your health.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking about position and the natural position and or natural posture. And when I was at the at his place, he has this thing called the Embody Chair, which is amazing because basically you sit in this chair, and I'm going to post pictures. I took pictures of this, and I'm looking really relaxed in the chair. It's great. But he basically gets you into a natural, relaxed position where your arms, especially your arms, your back, everything is in a relaxed state. And I was telling Les before the show, when I was sitting there, we've all experienced where our hand has gone to sleep or our arm, and we lean on it or we wake up in the morning. And when you get the circulation back, it kind of tingles. You feel all the nerves tingle. And I was telling David, he was asking, how do you feel? And I said, well, it was that kind of sensation in my hands, because your hands, I'll have you describe that relaxed position in a minute. But the hands, I was feeling, especially in each of the fingers and the insides of my fingers, it was tingling, though I wasn't, my hands were not asleep. So I was saying to Les before the show that I think it was just increasing my circulation in the hands, because that's normally what that feeling is that the blood's flowing in there. And this was incredible. I mean, it was happening for a while. It just didn't go away like when your foot goes asleep and then it tingles and it goes away. This was constantly. So there was something going on there that was very interesting. So let's talk a little bit about the Embody Chair, but also that position. If you can kind of.
Oh, sure.
I have pictures of it, but you'll let him describe it right now.
The Embody Chair is very exciting because we're in pre-prototype stage right now, but it is a functional chair, and it really it instantly gives you a relaxation that you normally can't have, because you were talking about natural. It's not so much natural, it's more neutral. So mm-hmm. what's the neutral place, the centered place of the upper extremities, which are the arms. Okay, what's the relationship between the upper arm and the shoulder, the upper arm, the elbow and the forearm, mm-hmm. and the hand, the wrist, and the fingers? What's the neutral place? What's the centered place? What's the place where you're going to put support the arms to give you the most comfort? And the arms are probably the least most understood area of position, mm-hmm. Because I talk to doctors and physical therapy experts, and they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue as to what this is. And I was so gifted to spend time with my mentor back in the early 80s who developed the Embody Chair, and we're in the process of getting this out. Getting this out to the public, so it's a brand new device that was kind of created from actually the Embody Cloud, which was more right. of a pillow system on the floor, but just not as accessible to the public.
Well, what was interesting about it was sitting, being relaxed in that chair, it didn't make me want to go to sleep. You know, you would think like, you know, I'm going to sit, go to bed. You know, all right, good night, wake up. I was actually alert, but relaxed. I mean, I was feeling, the arms felt great, but I was alert. It wasn't something that made me sleepy or something like that. So the energy was still there. I wasn't tired or something. And I thought that was interesting because it seemed like my energy was up. It wasn't, you know, when you go to sleep, it's going down, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm correct. So it was, that was one of the other things I noticed, is that I was awake. I didn't feel like I was going to nap out, you know?
Yeah. No, that sounds
fantastic. And I'll always go to sleep. I mean, just twist my arm and I'll fall asleep. But I mean, it was no, it just felt, it felt right. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. The chair is bringing awareness to positions and how the positions really dictate how you feel. So there is a feeling to comfort. Mm-hmm. And so having this, this knowledge will give you a better sense of having more comfort in the positions of playing the guitar or sitting in a chair or doing anything. I mean, the idea of what I want to do with people is provide the education that will give them the most relaxed, easiest way, effortless way to, let's say, play the guitar. That's going to reduce the chance of injury, that you could practice for hours and hours and hours and you won't get carpal tunnel syndrome. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you really have these ideas and habits that are going to be more balanced, mm-hmm. then you're going to reduce all your chance of injury. And most importantly, you're going to play, your sound is going to be different. It's going to come out. It's going to, you're going to come from an open, relaxed position. And that's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And also too, when you're relaxed, I learned this from Duke, when you relax, the way he would teach us on how to play and stuff, I could articulate better. And the notes were cleaner when I played, but it was a relaxed type of technique. It wasn't like you're like clenching that guitar neck and like you're like shoving.
Yeah, you're not fighting. It's effortless.
Right.
Yeah.
I would hammer and hit when I picked. One of the things that he taught was that you hammer onto the string while you pick, and you do these exercises so that you synchronize your picking hand with that. So it's just a light tap. It's a tap, mm-hmm. and that's it. But you don't like. You don't strain and keep it pressed down. You just tap and just hold it there, but without extra exertion. And I found that it was a relaxed way of playing. So I could do these fast runs, but at the same time, I'm not like my hand isn't straining and getting tired. I could, you know. Mm-hmm. So that type of relaxation, that even back then, he was saying that kind of a thing. And so you got to be relaxed. And the same thing, I learned that from drum playing. In drums, your arms and your wrists have to be relaxed, or you tighten up and you can't play. You have to. You're using that wrist to you know, move the stick onto the, whether it's the tom or the cymbal, and you're playing hard, but it's got to be loose, or you won't have that flexibility and you can't do those fast things and do those runs. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, when I would practice, my hand would tighten up and it would go all the way up my arm to the shoulder, and then it would relax and it would go all the way back down. And then after that, it was loose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after maybe about a 45-minute practice, you know, I would get everything nice and loose and stuff, because I did sessions too, and I played for like 4 hours, you know, four sets. That's hard on your hands, but if you're relaxed, it didn't bother me. You know what I mean? I could actually. So I learned about that, to keep loose. And I found that same thing when I studied guitar, that same thing. Got to keep it loose and relaxed, those mm-hmm. wrists loose. And then I, you know, with that type of hammer where it attack, release, it kept my hands relaxed, but I can still get the power and play and hit those notes. And you can really get a good forte out of it, really kick it, and at the same time, but I'm not tired, you know, I'm not straining. So it's interesting, because that's so true. You have to be able to be, especially playing, you got to be relaxed when you play.
Yeah, and I really encompass more of the whole body. So usually with technique, you're thinking about what you do with your hands, and you're
right.
Talking about hammering with your fingers. And here's a nuance for you. Okay, so instead of hammering or pushing down with your fingers, let's say on the fretboard, you're actually reaching and extending your fingers to hit the fretboard. So there's a whole different kind of nuance there.
Okay.
So you know, to get away from the hammering and the idea of grasping. So there's
right.
You're actually extending.
Well, it wasn't grasping, like, you know, clutching, where I was using the thumb. It was more like a tapping. It was more, because I wasn't using the thumb when I was playing on the fretboard. My finger was tapping the string. We called it a hammer, but I mean,
oh, sure.
I wasn't. I think where I would strain is if I was like using my thumb to like clench, mm-hmm. like I was clenching, and you couldn't do that. if you wanted to play fast. It had to be loose. So my thumb was just an anchor point. It was just touching, mm-hmm. but I wasn't really pushing onto the neck. There wasn't any pressure.
Well, it sounds like you're doing some good things with your hands. What I would do to remind you and whoever's mm-hmm. playing with a relaxed intensity mm-hmm. is to feel that power of the hands coming all the way through the body. So mm-hmm.
yeah.
So you're feeling it every time you're playing. You're feeling the energy coming through your feet up into your hands. And also, what about your breath? Make sure that you're breathing, too, through everything.
Right. I would find when I would be tense, I would hold my breath.
Sure.
I did that a lot.
Yeah. That's a common problem. Yeah.
And it's that open breathing that you... And when you see classical players, the real good ones, you can see their breathe... Well, they breathe to the music, but you can see their breathing constantly. It's steady and sure. It's mm-hmm. not short and quick. It's like... They might breathe to the phrasing of the music, but they're still, it's even and smooth as opposed to forced and, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're not, you know, like what you said, when you're under stress, you're breathing kind of a forced, quick type of thing, as opposed to an even in and out, even.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think the thing David was talking about was having it come through the whole body. Our main goal as an artist and playing for years like mm-hmm. I have is to transcend the instrument. Mm-hmm. And to do that, you can't transcend the instrument in here alone. It's really the whole body that has to be part of it, because that's the, when you're performing in front of people, all of that comes together as one piece. And to do that, the music flows through you, and you're not really even aware of the instrument or even your body. But if I hold tension in my body and then I'm playing, and then so now I'm aware of the body or the fingers or the hands. But when you have those moments where you transcend that, that's where then the music comes out, really organically and free.
Yeah, no, that's true. And again, this transcends just guitars. I mean, this is a guitar show, but everything that you're saying applies to piano, to drums, mm-hmm. whatever. Whatever the instrument, it's the same thing, especially when you're using hands, with the hands, but also feet, whatever. I mean, it's the same type of, they're all muscles, they're all joints. It's the same, you know. Now, let me ask you one thing is, and that was always my problem, is posture. Like, I would hover over, look at the music, mm-hmm. and I was on a stool most of the time. So I tended to hunch over. What can you do? How, because we forget. We're in the session. It's like we're on the clock. We're like, we have to get this done. What can we do to kind of stay? What's the proper position? What would be the proper, so that we don't stress like that? Because that's a tough, I know a lot of guys would say, yeah, that's, well, you know.
Well, this is a big conversation. Let's start with, first of all right, so you're in session and you're, that's maybe not the best time for you to start to make some changes. I think yeah, yeah. It's sort of like,
good.
You just have to, you have to do it, and the real learning goes on around the practicing and every day, all your everyday activities. So what I would suggest is just to get more empowered with how to approach posture. And that's what I teach. That's mm-hmm. part of what I teach. I mean, as a chiropractor, I could also deal with any injuries that people have, especially the repetitive stuff that comes up with guitarists and musicians.
One person I just want to ask you real quick. He had written to me when I mentioned that, when I posted the show, and he has osteoarthritis, and he said his knuckles are swelling, slowing his playing down. Is that treatable? Is that something that can be reversed, so to speak? And is there, through some of the techniques that you do, can that help that?
I need a little bit more background, but I could address it a little bit. Mm-hmm. First of all, osteoarthritis is your wear and tear arthritis. It's doesn't come from systemic causes. It's localized, usually wear and tear. as we get older, even if you're in great health, you're going to have a certain amount of osteoarthritis, which is also called DJD, which is degenerative joint disease. Mm-hmm. It's your basic arthritis that affects the joints as you get older. And for people that have injuries at joints, you'll have advanced cases of OA or osteoarthritis. Or as you get older, you're just going to get wear and tear. And the joint actually starts to deform a little bit, and the space between the joints are less and less. That's why you hear about people getting hip replacements and things like that. So very commonly, how old is this person?
He's probably around my age and around 60 or so.
Yeah, the 60s brings on a lot of situations where people have these conditions in the joints. And I think you can do some things about it. Generally, once the joint is malformed, if you have a certain amount of debris around the joint, that stuff is not going to reverse itself so much, but a lot of the problems that occur with arthritis is the inflammation. So that's
right.
The itis on the arthro is joint, and itis is inflammation. So lots of times you could manage the arthritis through better care and exercising and what you're doing, making sure that you're minimizing the stress mm-hmm. on the joints, and also through diet too. So there's and mind. You know, there's what you think about, you bring about. So you could actually help a lot of conditions just by thinking about them.
Mm-hmm. Well, this degeneration of the joint, mm-hmm. is that partly because as we get older, the cartilage hardens? When we're younger, first of all, our bones are more malleable, mm-hmm. but also we have more cartilage. And that hardens, right, as we get older?
Well, there's a fluid in the joints that starts to decrease as we get older. Hormones affect the joints, what we do. And once again, more wear and tear, and there's more predictable areas where you're going to have these problems. And the hands, especially in the thumb on the proximal joint, the one that you're having some issues. That's one of the first areas. If you isolate the joint and you're moving the joint around, and if you hear some noise in the joint and some pain, that could be the beginning stages of some arthritis. And it's good to start taking better care of your hands, and mm-hmm. which will could have a huge impact on feeling better, and not necessarily reversing the condition completely, but getting the condition manageable where it's not really having an impact and affecting the quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other things I want to talk to you about, because this weekend I saw my brother, he's a doctor, and I was telling him about what happened, was you were talking about the breaking down the fascia, the mm-hmm. different materials in the body. I was reading on your site, there's muscle, bone, and fascia, and one other. I can't remember.
Nerve.
Yeah. Those are the four main, what we're made of, the four main
That's right.
materials. But this fascia was interesting because you were saying when you were working on my thumb that you were breaking that down. Can you explain a little bit? Because you said it has a plastic type of texture to it, and that it sometimes as we tense and it kind of gets stiff or whatever, if I'm correct.
Oh, yeah. Let me pull back a little bit and give a little background to this. The fascia is one of the tissues that really make up our structure. So they're responsible for what you're looking at. When you're looking at me, my structure is made of this fascia, and the fascia can be very, very hard, like bone. Okay, and it could be very, very flexible, just depending on the function of the tissue. So, regarding muscles and joints, everyone has to realize that we have a muscle which is comprised of millions of microscopic muscle cells, and all these cells are actually wrapped in fascia, and the fascia is the supporting structure that's made. There's collagen fibers in there, mm-hmm. and there's elastin fibers, and it's in a watery base of what we call ground substance. But just to know that this fascia, really can start to harden if we're doing repetitive stuff or we're not moving our shoulders, and all of a sudden this fascia becomes, there's adhesions that form, and you have injuries, and you have restricted ranges of motion. And so here you are as a guitar player, and there's no difference between a guitar player that is really an all-star athlete, a very hybrid, intense athletic event that you're refining throughout your life, but you don't really get any kind of treatment, and you don't get any kind of proper attention to the tissues. And so if you when you came in for a treatment, you had this diagnosis, but you had really no good therapy as far as I'm concerned. So if you could do some good fascia work on the hands of anyone that's a practicing musician, you won't believe how great you'll feel, because the fascia, when you were talking about the deformation and the plastic properties, is this fascia, when you apply mechanical force, like massage, mm-hmm. but if you do specialized type of massage techniques like structural integration, which are therapies like Rolfing and Heller work, when you do these kind of tissue work on the fascia, it really brings the fascia and the area and the muscles and the joints back into balance. I mean, you could literally change the position of your hand by even one or two sessions, or the position of your shoulder by opening up and doing some soft tissue work to really manipulate this fascia.
Yeah, well, I noticed that when I had gone to a therapist about that, they noticed that between like my thumb and my palm, where what we're talking about for me, they would say, well, there's a knot in there, or there's something in there. And mm-hmm. then when you were there, he said, not with that, you said it was the fascia, and you dug in there, and you got it to relax. And I have to admit, the rest of the day, I didn't feel any. I mean, usually I'll feel a little bit of an irritation if I'm driving or something, because you're grabbing mm-hmm. the steering wheel. I didn't feel any, you know, because you had called me up. I said, it feels great. But, I mean, that breakdown of the fascia was, I think, is critical. I mean, I noticed it was probably the most noticeable relief that I got from that. Just that was just that. I mean, I know I have joint issues too, but that was, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, even if you're playing relaxed, hours and hours and hours of repetitive stuff on the tissues causes these areas to adhere. You know, the collagen fibers start to get thickened, and the fascia gets thickened, and it could have an impact on not only the function of the hands, but even most of the nerve compression syndromes coming down from the neck. There's usually a fascia that is restricting the flow of the proper flow of the nerve. So you'll have things like carpal tunnel and mm-hmm. Thoracic outlet syndrome and things like that that can easily be reversed by just maybe a couple sessions of working the fascia instead of going for these procedures and having mm-hmm. surgeries and doing these invasive things that really don't get to the problem.
Yes. Well, I told you it would go by fast. We're almost out of time, and I want to play another song of David's that he wrote, just to end with a nice guitar note. But I want to let everybody know the website to go to is www.rocketshipwellness.com, and all of this is explained. There's videos that show the posture. You can check out the Embody Chair, which is very cool. And also the different things. There's a lot of different techniques that he uses. And I think that's what makes it important, because he takes the best of everything. So whether it's shiatsu or reflexology or auricular therapy or whatever it is, he takes all of that and uses that. And I think that's the key. It really does. He uses, you know, it's more ammo to get you to feel better, in my opinion.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, for all those musicians out there, a lot of musicians do not, you know, they spend so much time addicted to the playing and all that, and they fight through this suffering. And David has his solutions for you that can really.
Yes.
There's
yes.
no use hiding in the shadows. You can actually find somebody that really understands, since he is a musician himself, what you really need, and do it in, you know, and have remarkable changes in a short amount of time. And
yeah, no. And when he had called me, when we were discussing the appointment, he's like, "Bring your guitar down. I want to see how you play." I mean, that's how much of a guitar player.
Oh yeah,
he totally gets it. And I think that don't wait. I can't stress. Do not
absolutely.
Wait. If you're feeling a little bit of pain, you need to nail this now because you'll play longer. You'll be able to play better longer for a much longer time. It's not worth it. I ignored it, and it got to the point where I couldn't play, and it's terrible.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is I've had people I've known that they had to actually give up playing, and they go, well, I used to play guitar or bass or trumpet or any other instrument, and they gave up playing altogether when, you know, they could have actually found a solution for that and an organic way to come back. So mm-hmm. time is now, you know, to relive
yes.
your dreams again if you were somebody that was sidelined by that. So
you can go to the site and heal, you know, all the contact information's there. So if you're in the LA area, you can go visit him and you can order the chair. The chair is great. I mean, I want one of those. I'm saving up for it right now. But also, too, this is we just barely scratched the surface and gave a little bit of an overview. I've talked with David, and we're going to have several shows in the spring. We're going to do another show and get more into the specific musician wellness program that he has, and we're going to talk about all the different things and go in more detail. So I just want to let you know there's more to this, and I think it's vital, and that's why I want to do more than one show on this, because I think we all need to look at this, and it'll make us all better players. And to me, that's the most important thing that
Absolutely.
We all keep playing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I just want to thank you, David, for coming down here. It's really a pleasure. And we'll have you back for sure, unless you're always invited to come and hang.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, and thank you so much for introducing me to him, because
he's a genius.
He's a life changer.
He's a genius.
It's definitely a life changing. Going to see him is life-changing.
Yeah.
I know that's a strong thing to say,
no, it's
but it's true.
True. It's absolutely
it's really true.
True. Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to go ahead and play. This song's called Trust Your Heart. Can you give me a little bit?
Trust Your Heart.
Anything?
This is actually on my – I have another guitar. This is a Taylor Custom gut string. And this is a tune to kind of help with a relationship with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 years ago, and I'm wanting her to trust a little bit more, and so I try to convey it in the song, and it's I'll let you guys hear it. And you're so kind with the comments. I appreciate being on here, and my joy would be to really further reach out to all the musicians to get them to feel better.
Yes. So check the site. Go on his site. If you have any questions, contact him. And he'll be glad to tell you and help you. And, it's an honor to have you on here. And I look forward to the next show, because this is really, it's just so important. I mean, it's hard to explain it emotionally, but it's an important thing. When you've hurt like that, it's important to get the relief and play. Anyway, here is Trust Your Heart. Everybody have a great evening. We'll see you next week.
And feel the sun. Dig deep down inside to start all one. There's a reason I was the chosen one. Start believing. Listen to your son. It's now the hour deep in your heart. Use your power. It's been there from the start. It's gonna take time. It's gonna take your mind. Gotta redefine somehow. Trust now. Time to trust your heart. Close your eyes and feel the sun. Dig deep down inside to start all one. There's a feeling every time you look my way. You are healing. I'm home and here to stay. Why do I know that there's trust in your heart? Change where you're now at. This is where you start. Never too late. Gonna be great. Gotta find a way somehow. Trust now. Time to trust your heart. Close your eyes and feel the sun. Dig deep down inside to start all one. Time to trust your heart. Close your eyes and feel the sun. Dig deep down inside to start. Don't run. Time to trust your heart. Close your eyes and feel the sun. Find your way to stay. No need.